Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and today is a DIF4Q episode, which is Discover Indie Film 4 Questions. And what are those questions? They are favorite films, a film you think is underrated, a film you think is overrated, and lesser-known films that people should seek out. Today they're going to be answered by Christopher Kramer, who wrote and directed and produced the great feature film Stay, which won a grand jury prize at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival last year. If you're a loyal listener, you'd know that for the podcast, Chris brought in Devin Brooke and Zach Kanner, who were his two lead actors as well as co-producers on the feature film Stay. And since we had three of them together, what we did is we did all four questions for all three of them, but I'm going to release each one as its own podcast. So the two voices you hear that aren't me chiming in on Chris's answers, that's Devin Brooke and Zach Kanner, two lead actors who are kind of using this to get even with their director. So without further ado, let's hear Chris's answers.
So favorite films, which is kind of funny because they're about as far from what we made as we can get. Number one's up there is going to be Moulin Rouge. I don't know why I fell in love with that film, but I've seen it dozens of times. Number two, see, I'm also going to list four, but I feel like two of these films are essentially the same. It's just continued. I'm definitely going to put Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead on there, but I'm going to categorize them as one. Anytime they're on, I can watch them beginning to end. They're just a good time, a super fun ride. And then the third one's kind of nostalgia for me, Princess Bride. Can't go wrong with Princess Bride. Like, yeah, they're just great, great movies. They're also, like, happy, fun movies.
Yeah, you don't make happy, fun movies, but you like fun movies.
I love them.
Yeah. So you love them. So you love a positive, entertaining film, and then when you sit down to write, you look at humanity's darkest
side. I have not done... I would love to direct a rom-com. Like, if somebody came to me with, like, a good rom-com script or something like Moulin Rouge, I'd love to tear into it and see what I come up with. But as far as, like, my own drive, if I'm driving something, I can't write those stories. I feel maybe it's because I'm so attached to them that I can't do them, so I take what I'm least attached to and be like, I want to dive into that world and try to add a little magic. But those three films are,
you know,
gems for me.
I was actually going to put Princess Bride as my overrated one.
Oh, yeah?
Ooh. Yeah.
We can fight later.
So Chris and I will fight on air for content. But I think I opted not to put it in that slot because I think that the problem I have with it is more derived from the world around it.
Mm.
It's so overquoted to me that, and it was, that by the time I saw it, which was later in life, I was like, oh, yeah, that's that line.
Yeah.
That's that line. That's that line.
Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't quote it anymore. That's the thing. Like, it's something, like, it's a gem as a standalone thing, but you are right that it's become...
It's, like, got a cult following.
But that's the definition of overrated, is that...
Yeah.
It could be a good film that everyone makes too much of.
Yeah.
I think I met someone who didn't like Spinal Tap, and I was like, well...
Yeah.
Because they were annoyed with how much it gets quoted.
No.
And I'm like, well, how can you... You know, I've heard the same thing for Big Lebowski. I'm like, how can you hold you hold the film's greatness against it? The fact that
people like it.
People can't shut up.
I can especially see that for Lebowski, yeah. But I think that it's... That the reason I don't actually want to put it in that slot is because I don't think it's a problem with the movie. I think it's a problem with the society around the movie.
Yeah.
Which is not its fault.
Well, by the way, I recently watched the DVD extras of Princess Bride.
Oh, those are overrated.
They were better than the movie. It was very cool. They went back to the author, William Goldman, and they, like, talked about how they developed the script. It was really good DVD extras.
Supposedly, HBO has a new documentary on Andre the Giant as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big segment of it is going to talk about Princess Bride. I've not watched it yet.
But. His, since they were telling him... Since he was, you know, a kid, like, you're gonna die by the time you're whatever. Yeah. Like, he lived, like, there was no tomorrow. They were saying his meals would be, like 10 bottles of wine and 15 lobsters and 12 steaks. Like, just insane. Like, just, like, going for broke on everything.
Who was that we were just reading was originally gonna have his role in Princess Bride? Was it Liam Neeson?
No,
there's some tall actor that was originally in, and I was like, that's
yeah,
super
he was
surprising.
Just a tall guy, but it was like, no, I was.
I could picture the guy from the Bond movies, Richard Kiel,
maybe
Jaws.
Well, yeah, he played Jaws.
Yeah,
the only villain in two Bond films, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Ooh,
because he was so popular.
Was he also the dude that got shot in the head with a nail gun in Happy Gilmore? Is that the same actor?
Oh.
I am lacking this information.
I don't know. I don't have this answer.
Because there was also the actor that was really big in where he played Lurch and stuff in the Addams Family films and stuff, which that might have been him as well.
God, so many people are yelling at their iPods right now. They're just like, it's him! It's this guy!
Maybe the Chewbacca guy? No. So, Peter Mayhew. I actually know who he is. You have a Star Wars shirt on.
I do.
There's a Star Wars shirt in the
Star
room.
Star Wars.
We're less exciting.
Yeah.
In Jacksonville, I get the Jacksonville. But it's Chris's turn for number two, your underrated film.
The newest Ghostbusters film. If it didn't have Ghostbusters as a title, and if it didn't use any of their references, that would be... You would come out of it thinking it's an amazing film. But because they were trying to hold it up to something that is so iconic...
And they're afraid that movies with women won't make money.
Yeah, but if it did not have the Ghostbuster reference, I do think the newest Ghostbuster movie would have been a hit.
That is fascinating.
Because we watched it, and I thought it was much better than, like, anybody that I'd heard talk about.
Like, we were talking about with, like, the overhype, where it was like, oh, I watched this at the height of the hype, and it ruined it for me. So we watched that at the height of the, like, dissing on it. And then we were like, this is not nearly as bad as everyone. Like,
it's got some amazing performances. What's her name?
Kate McKinnon.
McKinnon. It was phenomenal in it. Like... The four ladies did remarkably well in their roles. And story and effects were phenomenal. It's just because of the title and what you were trying to hold it to that I don't think it was successful.
And people, I think there was a backlash, almost a sexist backlash, against the idea that the stunt of making them all women, like a remake but with women.
Yeah.
I think that men who are not confident men like ourselves had a problem with that.
Yeah.
Whereas I was actually dying to take the 10-year-old girl to it, but... Yeah. I don't know, she wasn't interested.
I have not seen it yet. Your endorsement of it makes me really want to see it now and go in with two minds, like one of this is a Ghostbusters movie and one of what if it wasn't.
Yeah.
I think the reasonable criticism of it that was not a misogynist one was a criticism I had when I saw the trailer, which was just doesn't look funny.
Yeah.
It was a bad trailer. And I was like, this looks... Very, very.
It was
bad.
A bad trailer. I don't know if the film is guilty of it, but the trailer made me. I thought one of the great flaw of Ghostbusters the original is the tokenization of Ernie Hudson's Ghostbuster, and then at least the trailer for Ghostbusters female, whatever you want to call it, is like the black character again, like seems completely stereotypical, like.
And, like, just put it
in. And that bugged me. I'm like, wait, so we can right the wrong for women, but we can't right the wrong for black women?
Yeah.
And that kind of bothered me.
Yeah, but she has
much
more.
But I didn't see it.
But, yeah, and she has much more of a role in the film. But like, you're right, like, it does, where you're just like, oh, okay, so this really isn't any better than, like.
I mean, the preview made her character look like such a stereotype.
Yeah.
But maybe that was a badly cut trailer.
And she still... is to an extent, and I'm not saying that this is an Oscar-worthy film. It's definitely flawed.
I didn't explain it. The question is, what film deserved Best Picture that didn't?
It's definitely flawed, but I mean, it is... We watched it, and we're happy that we watched it.
Yeah.
You know, what's funny is, on the expectations game, everyone shit on it, and you were pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
La La Land, a lot of people said it was great, and then people who bothered to watch the screener were like, what's so great about it?
Yeah.
See, a lot of it...
It depends on...
You truly need to see a film 2 to 3 times to have an opinion.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
And almost, like, close yourself off, too, because I feel like that, like you said with, like, Princess Bride, close yourself off from the culture around a film, or, like, the people who are so invested in it one way or another. Because I'm sort of like we were talking about, like if they just named it something different, I'm like, why are we doing an Oceans with women? Like, I hate that idea. Like, I hate that.
You
idea.
Do?
I'm do. And I, but I'm trying to also keep myself censored from, like, I know there's been a bunch of articles and like things released about it, and I'm like, no. I don't want it to be influenced. If I see it, I just want to go in. And
that's also like an extended universe thing that I hate. Like,
yeah.
I don't think if a film was successful as a trilogy 5-10 years ago that you should then continue it.
Like, I'm
unhappy that Star Wars exists now again. Like, a lot of these that I'm like, no, keep the classics classic. Mm-hmm. We don't need to muddle them. They were good as they are.
Well, then you have a problem with a lot of what comes out of the studios. Because
I do.
It's Remake City, Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I'm oddly a little okay with, like, the gritty reboot from time to time. I do think they hit a home run with, like, the gritty reboot of Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Less of a home run with what they're trying to do now.
You're talking about Dark Knight, like...
Dark Knight. Like, the Nolan, like, I was a fan of that. But that's not quite the same, I guess. But, yeah.
Well, I think there's a difference between, like, a reimagining and, like, a reboot. Or, like, how many times have they remade Spider-Man, and it's not really that different of a movie? Like, there's nothing, like, it's a slightly different version of Spider-Man, but it's, like, The Dark Knight was a total reimagining of Batman as we knew him, and, like, a different storyline versus, like, we keep recasting the actor and keep trying to, like, blend Spider-Man into
the same
universe.
Tale.
And,
it's because the only story worth telling with a superhero is the origin story, and they realized that pretty fast.
Yeah.
Like, you have the second, third Spider-Man movie, you're like, okay, we'll give him a bad guy who he almost can't beat, but he can beat him.
Yeah. And it's going to be a Sandman, an electric guy.
So let's just go back, recast it, and show him in his bedroom again, finding out that what he can do.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Thor Ragnarok was pretty good about coming up with an original story it came from Planet Hulk, but a new story that didn't have to do with an origin, and it was wildly entertaining.
I need to see that so badly. I am in love with that director.
Cate Blanchett sold it to me. Like, when I saw...
If you have HBO, I think it's on HBO right now.
See, I've got to watch it.
Like, Cate Blanchett, when I saw it, I was like, oh, the next Thor movie, whatever. But then when they released the trailer with Cate Blanchett in it, I was like, I'm in. Now I'm in. She's amazing.
Now, so that was your underrated.
Yeah.
Now you get to do your overrated.
On the car ride up, I was like, this is my answer, but I won't say it because it's a film podcast and it's held in such, like, high regards. I was counting the minutes for The Revenant to be over. Like, The Revenant was beautiful. There's this weird, like, blend that you need to have. You need to have something that is cinematically beautiful, and you need to have something that is story-driven for it to be a great movie. The Revenant, for me, was just hard, cinematically beautiful. Repeated some shots that annoyed me, like, as far as style,
like,
but, like, looking up through the trees for a 15-second dolly just to tell the time, I could have done without. But, like, cinematically gorgeous, but story-driven, it was just painful because it was the same plight from beginning to end, for the most part.
I agree with you.
Whew, yeah. Thanks.
I don't blame you for bringing that in here.
I didn't even see it. I wanted to, because the bear.
Yeah, but that happens in, like, the first... You could watch the first, like, 20 minutes, and you're like, cool, and then just turn it off. And that's it. That's the bear.
And it's also, like, one of the big things that you constantly talk about. It's based off of a man who had another movie made in the 80s?
It was made with Robert Redford, Jeremiah Johnson, and it's the Redford film. I haven't seen the Redford film in years, but I remember there was talking in it, and there was a plot and a story, and it was, like, I would have to do a side-to-side comparison to, I guess, Truly Be Fair, but in my mind, I'm like, no, that was a remarkably better, more interesting film than, and actually told the story of his life rather than, like, a really shitty month of, like, bear injury into, like, some weird revenge thing that it was just like, oh my god, like, Leonardo DiCaprio was just like, just give me the... It was just his, like, give me the Oscar already.
It was his Oscar push.
Yeah.
And
did he get it for that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got it.
And he got it for Wolf also, right?
No.
No.
Oh,
no.
He didn't.
No, he got it for Revenant. Because he ate a buffalo liver raw, and it's like, you didn't need to do that.
And then threw it up.
And then threw it up.
Because he's a vegetarian.
And also because it's raw buffalo liver, and that's stupid.
A Walk in the Woods? No, that's too recent. I'm trying to look at the Redford movie for you.
I think it's just called...
Does he act in it?
Yeah, Jeremiah Johnson.
The Redfordnant? Is it not that?
It should be. Pretty sure it's just called Jeremiah Johnson, I think.
Yeah. There it is, Jeremiah Johnson, yeah. 1972.
There you go. Yeah.
Look at you. You go deep.
I do. I watched a lot of Westerns. My parents really like Westerns.
Sidney Pollack film.
Mm-hmm.
That guy had some chops.
Yeah, it is a remarkably more interesting film.
I'm very giving with the great filmmakers of all time.
They could take the hand
out. Pollock had a chop or two. Yeah, he had some tricks up his sleeve. Probably better than a lot of the guys that get a lot of credit. But anyhow, I want to just let you get to your fourth.
All right. So, a movie that I recommend watching, and it's one that you have to get through the first 15 minutes to, like, enjoy it. The first 15 minutes are rough. Devil's Carnival. It is a, like, 50-minute feature. It is a movie musical. It's made by the same guys who did Repo Men, a rock opera. So, I'm hoping I'm getting all this information right. So they made Repo Men, and it was technically like a box office bomb for them. Like, they had a huge budget, and then it turned around and it flopped. So their next film, they were given like only like under $100,000 to make this film that they wanted to do. And so they were really constrained, and then all of a sudden they came out with something that's a really fun flick. And it's got a cult following. It now, you know, they came out with this sequel, which I haven't seen the sequel yet, but it was dark, twisted, musically fun, worth checking out. A Devil's Carnival. It's not going to be for everyone, but I love it.
Did their Repo Man the musical have to do with Repo Man? Was it like a playoff of that movie?
So it was about Repo Man the musical, I think, was about collecting organs from people if they couldn't pay for their transplant.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, it was
is that Repo Man the film?
That's different from Repo Man.
I think
Repo Man is wildly different from that.
Yeah. Yeah, this Repo Man the rock opera, I think, is what that was a movie. That was their like first one that had like a huge budget. Look up if you go to the Devil's Carnival and then look up the director on IMDb, it'd be under his. I'm pretty sure I'm getting the title right, but that was.
Is it Alleluia, the Devil's Carnival?
That is the sequel. So yeah, it's the same team.
Oh, there we go.
Alleluia,
the Devil's Carnival.
It's a fun flick.
I gotta tell you, when four people are discussing movies, it's pretty hard to stay on topic, but I think we did pretty well. And I hope I didn't talk too much. I try to hold that back, but damn it, there were like three people in my family room, and we were sitting around a microphone, and I kinda couldn't help myself. I think I talked a little more than usual there. So my apologies to Chris and Devin and Zach if I didn't let them get in the key insights they wanted to. Anyway, go to discoverindiefilm.com, and there you can get information about their film Stay. You can also watch a lot of great independent short films, and you can get links to lots of great independent feature films. And you can learn about the film festivals I program, like the Sherman Oaks Film Festival that's coming up in November, and Film Invasion Los Angeles that's every June. And I know you enjoyed that, and I know you enjoyed hearing Devin and Zach chime in on Chris's answers, which means you should listen to the next two podcasts, which are going to be Devin and then Zach, and you'll hear all three of us chiming in on their answers. Thanks for listening.